Hello, and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. If you think of the 11th hour, this is truly it for Michigan's budget. It's the last day of fiscal year 2018-2019. Governor Whitmer has until 11:59 tonight to sign the 16 budgets for the new fiscal year and keep state government open for business. But the GOP-controlled legislature sent her a $59.9 billion budget that she has declared to be a mess. So let's talk about her options and the politics of this budget battle. Here with us now is Bridge Magazine's Jonathan Ostings and Michigan Radio's Lansing Bureau Chief Rick Pluta. Jonathan, I want to start with you. If the governor wanted to take a nuclear option to this budget she calls a mess, she could veto it, but it doesn't look like that option is going to be exercised, right?
Yeah, that's right. The governor already signaled on Friday through a message that department directors sent to all of the state's roughly 58,000 employees that the government will not be shutting down. Now, that means for our perspective that the governor will not be vetoing the full budget because that is what would trigger a full temporary government shutdown. So she's letting folks know that's no longer on the table, but she has plenty of other options to consider short of that.
Now, one option, is there anyone out there that expects her to sign these bills as presented and say, well, better luck next year?
No, that's another option that most people assume is very, very highly unlikely. The legislature took a very rare step this year of sending the governor budgets that her administration played no role in crafting. Typically, these budgets are negotiated throughout the process, but that stopped about 3 weeks ago when Whitmer and the Republican-led legislature stopped seeing eye to eye. The legislature went ahead and finished these budgets without the administration, which means it probably has plenty in there that the governor doesn't like and is missing plenty of stuff she would have liked to see.
So, Rick Pluta, remind us where these big points of contention are between the Republican legislature and our Democratic governor.
There are quite a few, but I would say the big two are road funding and then money for education.
Okay.
And I would include colleges and universities and K-12 in that. And that's where I think we've seen the biggest points of difference, at least in terms of actual dollars.
So, Jonathan, what are the best options Governor Whitmer has to get what she wants without shutting down state government or saying better luck next year?
Yeah, well, the most likely options, which I imagine we're going to see plenty of later this evening, are line item or item vetoes. So she can, you know, basically cross out specific spending lines in the budgets presented to her by lawmakers. She can also declare certain provisions unenforceable, either because she finds they violate the state constitution or state law. Now, those are two options that governors before her have used plenty of times. It wouldn't be unheard of for that to happen. I expect we'll see more than in past years. But it appears the governor is poised to also use a much more rare option, which is to use the state administrative board to shift funds within budgets. It's been tried only once before in 1991 by former Governor John Engler.
Yeah, in fact, I want to jump over to Rick on that for some. We like to go to Rick for history.
Sure.
So we know that Governor Whitmer,
speak up, please.
Speak up. Ready? Yeah, put your cane. All right. Right. She's going to take a page from the John Engler playbook.
Yes.
It appears. So tell us, why is it significant? The state administrative board says, "Hey, we're meeting, having a special meeting at 9:30 tomorrow."
Well, it's technical, but let's start with the line item vetoes. That every time the governor line items something, that means that there is now that money available to do something else. Now she can use then the state administrative board, which is made up of the governor and the attorney general and the secretary of state and department directors. And look, all of those people are Democrats, that they're in the fold. And what they can do is within those budgets, they can move money around. So you're freeing up money, and then within certain parameters, you can move that money around. And since a meeting of the state administrative board has been called for tomorrow morning, that's exactly what we're expecting to go on. And then once that happens, especially if that money is moved from Republican priorities, either through a straight-up veto or a line item veto, then that means that perhaps if she does it right, then there's a reset, and then Governor Whitmer and the Republicans can go to work on what essentially would be Budget 2.0.
Okay, so take us back to Governor Engler, who was the one that kind of came up with this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was known as a tough guy to deal with the legislature.
He was a shrewd operator.
There you go. But he didn't actually wind up using this tactic, did he?
Well, he did it. He sent it back to the legislature. It was challenged in court and actually found legal. Mm. But that court decision came down after Democrats came back to the table and negotiated a new bargain with Governor Engler, which, like we just said, mm-hmm. is kind of what it seems Governor Whitmer is now pushing for as well.
So basically what John Engler did back in 91, Jonathan Osting, is gave the governor a tool in the toolbox.
Yeah, that's right. It's been this power that's been hanging out there. And in fact, past governors, including Governor Jennifer Granholm, have sort of teased the idea or perhaps threatened the idea of using this option in the past, but have not actually done so since 1991, that test case with Engler. So Whitmer would be the first governor to actually exercise this power. But of course, as I mentioned at the outset of this interview, we're living in unique times where the legislature sent her a budget that she really had nothing to do with. So both are fairly unprecedented maneuvers and sort of point to the overall contentiousness of this process in our first period of divided government in 8 years.
And speaking of being cranky and contentious, how might the legislature react to the governor doing what is basically an end run around them?
Yeah, well, that remains to be seen. Certainly, there is, beyond this budget, there are considerations for long-term negotiations on road funding, and Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky last week suggested that if the governor does use this mechanism to go around the legislature, that could poison the well or frustrate Republicans, who the governor still does want to negotiate with on other items in the future. So, again, these relationships are already strained, but this could be, another point of contention between the legislature and the governor.
Republicans in the House and Senate are remaining very, very quiet until they see exactly what the governor does with these line item vetoes and with administrative board action. But what I've been told is what they're hoping for is, once that happens, is a reset and not more of the saber rattling that we've seen from Governor Whitmer. I mean, remember that she's issued a series of challenges and then has had to back down every single time, mm-hmm. which also means, I mean, not only do legislative leaders want a reset, she needs a reset in order to establish some control as the chief executive of the state.
Well, in fact, get your thoughts on this, both of you. We've got a governor who, she knows the inside of the state legislature. She served for years in the state house and the state Senate. So what are political insiders and observers saying about this real protracted budget fight that she's in?
Governor Whitmer came in and was, I mean, she had more legislative experience, practical governor experience, than any governor we've had since John Engler, with one critical difference.
Okay.
Unlike John Engler, Governor Whitmer has never served in the majority, always as a minority leader, which means it's a very different role, that you're kind of throwing up the sandbags against what you know is coming your way. You're trying to basically negotiate, bargain for the least worst result rather than the priorities that you would like to set.
What do you hear, Jonathan?
Yeah, certainly. Echoing what Rick said, I think, this is a governor who, as a minority leader, one of her main functions was to throw verbal bombs across the aisle, and she was quite good at doing so.
Indeed.
But some of those tactics have rubbed Republican lawmakers the wrong way so far early in her tenure. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that would argue that Whitmer is so far winning this negotiation battle with with the legislature. She's, as Rick said, had to back down several times from threats she's made, and you know, negotiated on no-fault auto insurance, for instance, in a way that her party historically had not been willing to do so. She was sort of forced to do so. So the legislature has so far, in several instances, sort of had her number at the negotiating table, which I think is why everyone's watching with such interest to see what she does with these budgets and which what power and what levers she exercises here.
So take us over the next couple of days. We have this 11:59 deadline looming. Tick, tick, tick. We go past that. Rick, then what?
Well, by then we should have heard of what the vetoes are, what the line items are. You know, maybe if there are some signing letters, why mm-hmm. she vetoed particular things, which will also give Republican leaders kind of a roadmap as to what they might be able to, as far as their end goes, in terms of repairing the relationship between them. Then watch what the governor and the state administrative board do tomorrow morning to see what they what money they'll have available in terms of what gets moved around. And then once the budget is done, well, the budget's not done. That there are adjustments that need to be made during the year because of things that are happening, changes in revenue, and they're called supplemental budgets.
And that's not new.
No, that's not new. Yeah. And that's where the this will go next.
In the meantime, Jonathan, you're watching to see if a puff of white smoke or a puff of dark smoke like the Sistine Chapel comes out from the Capitol. Michigan Radio's Lansing Bureau Chief Rick Pluta and Bridge Magazine's Jonathan Osting. A lot of smart Lansing knowledge together. Thanks, guys, very, very much.
Great to be on with Jonathan. Thank you.